Speaking of reliability. Friends talking about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career.
Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And this is Kirk Gray.
Hey, Kirk. You know, I just am fresh off of a visit to a client that we're looking at doing a bunch of testing and all other good stuff. And it was kind of cool. It was an interesting product. You know, and what I find, and I'm sure you do too, is that one, travel is a pain. Airports are not fun anymore. Are smaller.
No. TSA has ensured that. Yeah.
Yeah. Or the airlines squeezing every dollar out of it or whatever. I am right now when we're recording, it's Wednesday before Thanksgiving, which is, from what I understand, is still the number one travel day of the year. And so
right.
I am so glad to be sitting in my house behind a microphone, not going nowhere.
Yes. We are having Thanksgiving local, so it will not be any kind of getting in at airport. That's something I would certainly avoid on this day.
That's right. But that brings up one of the things, you know, for me, when I'm traveling, it's, you know, it's efficient. You're in and out through security. You're fine. You know, you don't wait too long. The plane's on time. It's all these things that make it a successful experience, right? It works. Now, this client I visited, they make a, think of it as a sensor, a really, really fancy sensor array. And it's a subsystem. It's got its own little electromechanical system and all the other happy stuff with it. And they do some unique manufacturing steps to actually craft this thing. So it's pretty cool.
Is this sensor custom made for any particular or modified for each client, for each customer?
No. No.
It's a standard off kind of what would be called an off the shelf sort of thing or.
Yeah.
It's made one way. Okay.
Pretty much. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm quite sure if you ask the marketing guys, they would love to customize it for everybody. But I think they have they have like three or four different models, but they were just on attachments of how the thing went. But it's a pretty cool little device. It's not cheap. Mm-hmm. And as they were kind of thinking through, well, how do we make sure this thing works? And we talked a little bit about halt testing. Mm-hmm. Is that appropriate to say? I always trip on that because it's HALT is highly accelerated life testing. And yes. I say halt testing. Is that
halt testing? It's kind of redundant, isn't it?
Yeah.
I call a halt process or halt methodology.
Okay. Yeah, I should.
I try to avoid
testing, testing.
Yeah, testing. It's kind of redundant. So,
okay.
And it's also not really in the way we think of testing.
Right. You can't
pass and fail.
Right,
yeah. So, you know, again, we kind of ruminate over the bad acronym.
Yeah.
We all can't change, but we know what it means.
Yeah. I think we probably did a whole episode on that. We should probably find that
several
in reference.
Times, right.
Yeah. Several times. All right. So they came up with this question, which I kind of went, well, it depends. So the problem they had was that they created a set of specs and it was somewhat technology driven. This is what we can do.
Mm-hmm.
But the boundaries, right? The, mm-hmm. Just think of it like a temperature range.
Right? Mm-hmm.
They went, well, it really, really doesn't work at this low temperature and this high temperature. I mean, it just stops working. Right?
Okay.
Right?
So you have an operational limit. Yes.
Right.
As opposed to being out of spec or out of range.
Well, that was the issue is they said, well, we don't want to set the spec there because we know people will use it there. So we want to set a spec that's reasonable, but we don't really know where and how all of our customers use it. And
right.
You know, it's used in lots of places, lots of customers, and we get products back. People say it's failed. And so when we're setting up our testing and they were thinking of going into halt was, well, how do we know it's failed? What's the right definition of failure for this?
Right. But each customer, and I assume this is used in with other customers other than the one they're directly dealing with, right, that they say that one failed. Is it failing for all their customers or in their different customer applications for different companies?
Well, it's OEMs, that gets or, kind of vague, right? You know, sometimes they get it back. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes it's, hey, it's failed and they can't replicate it. Customers say, well, it was, you know, did this, this. Some customers provide more details, but it's all over the map.
Right.
Their Pareto is not, you know, hey, it doesn't, it's, I'm making this part up. It's like, if it's supposed to sense a blue line, it doesn't sense a blue line when it has a little green in it. It doesn't, it's not that kind of details they're getting back.
Okay. Right? Okay.
They're getting the classic, hey, it didn't work. Give us our money back. Give us a new one.
Are they saying, and they're sending it back to the component manufacturer and saying, and the component manufacturer is finding it has failed. Is it a verified failure or?
Some, you know, okay. Classic, right? There's 25-50% are no trouble found, but
right.
What they're, it's a classic dilemma of a component manufacturer is they don't really know how a customer is actually using it. Right. It could be a contract right. manufacturer that assembles it and it didn't work. Right. So they take it out and send it back. But it's, they're not into the design. And so, but back up, here's the component vendor, right? We're in a right. component vendor and yes. They want to make their product more robust. And so yes. HALT's a classic approach for this. Right?
Right. If they've got one component, so they can know everything about it and it's not very hopefully not too complex to be able to stress it, voltage, thermally. I don't think vibration is probably significant for us, most components individually. But those kind of things, especially electrically, thermally, and if it's got any, if it's digital or has a clock.
Well, it's got, think of it as, it's not an individual electronic component. It's not like okay. a resistor.
It's a,
it's a subsystem. Assembly. It's an okay, assembly. Assembly. It's got a bunch of okay. stuff in it.
Okay.
But, you know, so they're looking at it and I says, well, when you got one right now, how do you know when it's failed?
Right.
And it's a pretty mature product. And so okay. it was, we'll use the sensing a line type thing. They know that it can right. pick up different colors. It can pick up different widths, right. different types of textures. You know, there's all these performance specifications
right.
that they have. And there are technical limits, right? If you draw a line mm-hmm. that's only one angstrom wide, yeah, it's right. probably going to miss that.
Right.
So I said, well, how do you know what's going to fail? He says, well, it has all of these specs and there's like 30 of them that it can do this, 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 and this. And there's kind of the envelope of things it can do.
Right.
But how do you, and they didn't have like a test. It's not like a computer where you just put it into a test loop and it's exercising the memory and doing all kinds of circuit analysis, you know, stuff like that. It needs something to sense.
Right, right. And there's sense of, yeah, and it seems to me, Fred, and I don't know how you would think about it, but isn't it the responsibility of the equipment manufacturer that's using the device to explain in detail how it's failed or what they consider a failure in their system instead of just sending it back, it failed, and you have well, no further information like that?
No, it's not their responsibility.
The equipment manufacturer?
Uh-uh. I don't think so. And think of the supply chain that we got going out here, right? If it's a custom part that you're contracting with these guys to make for you, to integrate in your system, you're part of the design team. And you need lots of mm-hmm. communication. They're mm-hmm. not.
Right.
They're closer to supplying resistors to the market through lots of catalogs. And they don't know who's buying it. Right,
right, right, right. So
they're not getting tons of information back.
So they don't know that it's not part of the design or their limitations of what it's going into. Okay, right. The bigger system. So if they're clueless as to how it's being used, what they're trying to read.
Well, that's not fair to call them clueless. I mean, they have some ideas.
They've got to have some ideas on what the function is in the device, in the in-use device, and what the in-use device is not receiving or getting the correct data from the component. Now, if the component is failing and has a hard failure, then it's something that you can bring back and look at.
Right.
And do your analysis on. But in this case, if you don't, unless they have, you know, okay, first of all, let's hope they measure the variation in their components. If that's, if it's a mass produced component, like you say.
Not really.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, some, but not really.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, that was a different discussion.
So they have to understand the variation and whether, you know, that distribution and variation could lead to, and then get back, lead to not working in the customer system. But they need to, you know, if they have, I assume it's not 100% of them that are being sent out come back. And
oh, no, no, it's a, no, it's a very small percentage. It's a mature product. They're very successful.
Right.
They're going, you know, we'd want to chip away at these field failures we got. We're doing a new design. We want to know how to make it robust.
Right.
And like, all right, great. So the question is they have all these different things they can measure.
Right.
Some are easier than others to do while putting it under a range of different stresses.
Okay.
And some are not. Right. Okay. How would you approach saying, all right, well, what the question I ask them is, how do you know when it's not working? He says, not a hard failure. Not a hard failure. Right. But well, when it's
not working by the customer standard, not by their standard, because they know and they test before the product leaves, their subsystem leaves their factory.
Yeah, the little green light comes on.
It's working.
It does a test pattern and it sees that.
So they send it to the customer. He puts it into his system. And certain percentage of them, not all of them, I don't know, small 1% or single digits, let's hope, don't come back to them, right?
Right.
So then they say, look, can you send us one that or a couple? I don't know how much these are costing, if they're sending out thousands or 100. But can you send us back one or two that do work in your system and you found have no problems? And then we'll take the ones and compare those with the ones that don't work or you're saying don't meet your requirements and do a careful comparison of all the parameters that you think this customer, if they're not telling you what parameter is particularly out of range or is not functioning, because I'm you know, again, I don't expect that they're having dead ones if it's
No. These are
So you're getting back functional ones. So you've got something to at least even though it's not meeting their spec or it's not working in their system, you would then want to compare those whatever you could get from them. And it depends on the volume. It depends
So it's really you're saying is go after more of a detailed failure analysis.
Well,
what's the variability, right?
Yeah. What? Why wouldn't you go out to their company, or there have them send however big the system? If it's a room size INM planner, no, you're not going to send that back. But you'd go out to their facility and you'd look and directly deal, depending on the cost of this failure and the loss of the product of the market to them or whatever.
No.
You'd go out to their facility, you'd see in detail, and you'd carry some of your one or two key engineers that know the product, your own subsystem quite well, and then see how they're interfacing, see what they're testing, see how they test, and try and understand what the root cause, what the root parameter that they're dealing with that does not meeting their functional spec. Now, that seems to be this more straightforward way of at least if you can't actually go out and see it, then, you know, bring back some products and compare with what you
good versus bad ones
works with them. Okay, what do we see about the parametrics of this particular subsystem that the ones they're calling failure?
But you're saying it's more after the variability that there's, I mean, individually it passes our internal specs, right? We shipped it, it's still good.
Right.
We get it back on the bench, it still looks to be good, but it could be that variability that puts it on the margin, which is an artificial spec internally saying, right, here's our specification. But because of their application and the variability, maybe it has like not quite the power output that it should have, or the discrimination, or the whatever
Well, yeah,
particularities.
Yeah, right. And it brings me back to kind of a case history I have in my book about this one power component that when we were doing a halt test, it would actually blow up. Okay.
Ooh, but it failed. That's easy.
Then you know it failed.
Yeah. That's a hard failure, I would say.
We also had an operational limit of over 30, a difference between three systems that you tested, that I tested, three separate, same device, same system. And there was a 30 degrees C difference between the worst case and the best case. Mm-hmm. Extremely high variability of that one component. But when I sit down with the manager, you know, it was blown up. And he says, we never see these come back where the component is actually cases split apart.
Right,
okay.
Right.
So why are you making me want to change this? And I'm saying, you know, to me, the performance of this device, this one component, was the limiting factor. And it had a wide distribution in its functionality and its capability. And that was only three units. And they're sending out 1,000 or hundreds. Well, you know, when you have that variation, that even though it didn't destroy the thing, you still have a limit. You still have an operational limit that is widely distributed. And if they don't, and that may be the contributing factor in this application, because you know, what are their other customers? I assume this subsystem you said is similar and used
Right. And that was, you know, I went through some of what you're talking about. I keyed on that the variability of how they're using it will show the strengths and weaknesses of your product in different ways. And it's really about variability in we also then talked about actually measuring not pass fail data versus variable data,
right. That
kind of stuff. So you get a baseline of what is the range of variability you got, but you make a good point is you got to tie it to the ones that are important to the customer. What aspect are they considering out of the 30 different things in the spec sheet? Which one of those or collection of those are important? Now they fully suspected that different customers use it different ways. And so that became, well, if we can't measure them all, how do we find the one? You know, it would be multiple customer visits. It really is.
Not all customers are having equal rates of problems with this device, right?
Yeah.
So you know, you'd go to the top, and I don't know, you know, what differences between how each different customer uses it. If it's similar, obviously, then you're really keying off very specific parameters that are not tight enough or not consistent enough. And then you focus on that and understand that. But it sounds like, you know, depending on how many customers, and you just mentioned, you know, like chip MLCCs or something like that, you know, a supplier of those would not be possible to find all their customers.
Yeah,
you know?
And they're more on that end of the spectrum, not all the way out there. But it is a dilemma where because of our supply chains, and you realize that, I mean, once the company says, hey, we want to use this sensor, they hand off the purchasing to a contract manufacturer. And unless it escalates on the customer's end enough, and the hazard is, and products like this, is that it might not be worth troubleshooting it from the OEM's point of view. It's like, all right, we'll just use vendor B, you know, and use something else.
Well, sure. And the question is, you know, if they do have a competitor or they hear of, you know, this where they have sometimes, you know, depending on the volume, they have to use a second source. A company has to buy from two suppliers. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they would share that kind of information maybe to the component manufacturer that we have a 3% or 5% higher failure rate with your product than we do with the others. And you'd get your competitor's product and you'd measure its capability to do all the things that it's supposed to do if it's used in the same function. But that may not be the case. It probably sounds like a single source. And
it also sounds like, I mean, the idea of going after the variability of your own products and then how does that trip the perception of what works and doesn't work from a customer point of view. That's, I think the, it's not easy, right? It takes some work and digging to find it, but that then sets you up to say, all right, we need to measure these five specifications. And it's not so much about, are they in our spec or not, but are they consistent? Are they reducing the variability? But that brings up, if I'm measuring something for variability, right? Do you just set a lower end of what you think is a reasonable, or the higher end, whatever edge of your specification is on that variability, so that you can detect it when it occurs in under all the ranges of stresses and halt? That's what I'm coming back to, is they were trying to set up a way. How do I've got 30 things on the spec sheet. Yeah. We talked about, we got to narrow that down to the ones that are important.
Right. And you know, some of them are not important. Right. You should be able to whittle that down.
Right. So we get that. That's not easy. We got to whittle it down to the ones that are important.
Right.
And then you go into halt. Now, they've got a range of different ways they can measure and monitor their system.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Some are easier than others. But I advise them, don't. If you got nothing else, use the easy ones and get your first pass, and then refine from there. But then they like, well, some of these are going to take some invention to figure out how to measure it when we have it in stress under these different conditions.
Yes.
And before we invest in that, that's the discussion we just had. Let's make sure that those are important to our customers.
Right.
But now let's say they get a range and it's, you know, plus 15 to plus 85 is the range of this reading they're getting is the variability.
Right.
So what would you deem or set an operational limit or how would you say, yes, it's failed? Where would you, I mean, I don't know if I'm asking this question. But, you know, it still works, right? It works over this huge wide range.
Yeah. But it's out of spec in some, in the range that for certain, you know,
certain applications or certain combinations.
For certain applications, combinations, you don't know where the, I mean, you know, you have to know so much about that equipment that's going into and what the end use application may be and how variable, whether it's sold worldwide, it's used indoors, outdoors, whatever.
Yeah.
Those kinds of things, those are really important factors that are going to help you figure out why your particular subsystem that they're sending back or saying doesn't work. I'm saying, you know, this is a, obviously, the key to this is communication and detail technical information from the supplier, from the OEM that's buying your product, on what it is that they're seeing wrong and what is it reading. You get a you know, out of cal reading or something like that. You know, and again, that I say that those kinds of failures are due to probably design margins as opposed to manufacturing mistakes or something like that, where, you know, it'll have a hard failure. But we all know there's variation in manufacturing. And so for the
they always make it perfect. Come on.
Yeah. Sometimes it's quite extreme and sometimes they don't know it.
That's right.
Many times, you know, but that's where, you know, this company that never had stress didn't know that they were going to have this huge, and to them, that didn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. To me, the strength and capability of a component to operate under stress is directly related to its ability to function in variation of their subsystem. Okay. So they would take their own subsystem and they would know where the limits of its, first of all, reading, you know, its actual operational consistency and within spec. And then they would know when, you know, electrically, voltage, whatever, temperature, if there's some vibration involved in it, then those things they need to know very simply. What is the boundary? What is the strength of this product? And how consistent do we have from unit to unit of this? And again, it depends on the cost and volume of manufacturing, whether that's easy or very difficult to do, and the function of the, of how it's used in its end-use environment. But without the knowledge from the customer, I mean, it should be, the customer should be motivated, unless, again, they have a second source that they just start drawing on and say, hey, we'll buy it from this one that has only a half a percent failure, you know, within range. But it's imperative to the customer because I think that anything that they're sending it back for, okay, that the OEM is sending it back for, has a potential of being a problem in time as components age, as maybe semiconductors degrade, whatever it is in that device, that it's going to be less accurate or less precise or whatever, its function is going to decline. And that same, those same parameters that are sending back immediately are being sent back immediately, you know, not, I assume these are not warranty, or these are probably from in-house, right?
It's a mix. Yeah, it was a mix.
Okay. But, so here it is, right. It may be evidence there. Okay, it was a mix. It's still coming back from the field. And especially if it's functional, then they can measure, you know, what's changed about that performance. Because when they sent it, when the OEM sent it out, before they sent it, they probably ran some precision testing so that they knew it was going to be able to read and function the way it's supposed to. Then over time, that thing, you know, degraded as fatigue damage. And as we know, chemical processes occur that will potentially change the parametrics of that, of the device, especially in sensors, things like that. They're really like oxygen sensors, things like that. They're, you know, chemically based, they'll change. And so then it's a matter of those connecting those two. You know, that's why I say if you find it, if it's happening at time zero, only on a certain percentage, small percentage, it's probably happening also in the field over time, you know, plus, because if it's weak enough to fail and not read properly when they put it in the machine before they ship it, then it's probably going to have those same weaknesses, I'd say, in the in its reading, its parametrics, whatever, are going to start showing up as a small percentage, maybe, could be over, you know, 3 or 5 years, depending on how long the product's been out, starts becoming a very large percentage.
Yep.
And so I'd say that anytime you find this, again, anything you find, any weakness you find in the HALT process methodology and the limits, you've got to realize will probably degrade over time to some extent, and that will result in field failures too, or functional failures. And then those are even worse because they fail and they come back and they may meet your spec, but they don't meet the customer's application spec.
Now, the hazard of talking for another half an hour on this topic, we've talked so many times about, and you wrote a really, really good article on the drain in the bathtub curve.
Right.
And talking about physics of failure and all this other stuff. And you didn't seem to be a big proponent of all that, yet you just now summarized our discussion about failures and operational failures and what to measure based on things shift and change and degrade and move. And so, and that sounded a whole lot like, so I'm going to call you on that and then we'll leave it there. Okay. And we'll let our audience help arbitrate this. All right. So is Kirk really a believer in, you know, the physics of failure and things do degrade? Hold on, Kirk. And or is he, you know, saying most things fail before they wear out? You know, there's this, the things are technological obsolescence and the drain in the bathtub curve concept and stuff. Now for HALT, I think the main point you're making, and the part that answers the question that I had with this client, was when you go into to evaluating your product, it's not just spec, pass, fail. It's what's the variability and what are those variability elements that impact how your customer perceives the performance of your product. Those things all matter. And so extend it rather than just going in spec, out of spec, even in HALT testing. It's look at that that range of variability as another clue that there's an area for improvement. And that's where using more than one sample comes into play, right? Use three, four samples and look for that variability. That's another whole topic.
Yes. All right.
So,
okay.
So head over to, if you want to chime in on this and ask Kirk or I some more questions about this, or if you have something similar going on in your site, your products, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. And it's a great way for you to join the conversation. And we'd love to hear from you. So with that, Kirk, let's wrap this one up.
Okay, Fred, and everybody out there, thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.